left that honor, and he said to ask in the heaven, get away. And he found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and the other book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged as of those things which were written in the book, according to their breath. And the things thereof the dead which were in earth, and death and hell, delivered up the dead which were in death, and they were judged every man according to their death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not baptized written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Some of the guys sitting in a railway compartment listening to a conversation of two elderly ladies. It's impossible not to listen, though they thought it so lightly. And they're discussing in the most dismal terms the conditions of the patient death. Simply one said to the other, he said, I don't know what is going to happen next. I don't know what it is. But I thought my opinion might not be welcome to our elderly lady. Of course, how they stopped the thing. They found out quite forever as what is going to happen next. Very shortly, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he passed, everyone who belongs to him will disappear from this place. And quite frankly, in your current condition, and the things that are occurring, it ought to, as though that is extremely dear. Because something was there, we heard that kind of thing years ago, and still Christ has not passed. But that's not the case. And centuries ago, people were taught in a similar fashion. They said, you say Christ is coming? And here it is, the promise is coming. Things go on, day after day, in just the same fashion. And still, Christ has not passed. Then the Apostle Peter, who was placed by that sort of coming, gave the answer to a virtual question. If you think, he said, that Christ seems to have made his coming, the answer is perfectly simple. It is found in the bosom of God. It's only because of the mercy and compassion of God that Christ has laid his coming up to the man. God is not willing that any should perish. His desire is that all might come to repentance. And if Christ has not come, after his second death, the reason is precisely that it is the mercy, the compassion of Almighty God. He has waited right up to the death, and possibly just for you. But one thing is perfectly clear. Now, that coming cannot last, be the last. Our Lord might come, just as soon as the present day. That, of course, is uncomfortably expressed. Let me delay his coming, and to say next Friday. I'll say, first of all, I have no authority whatsoever to say this. The simple fact is, he might pass to death. But alert until next Friday. If I was only sitting in an aeroplane, may have. The man next to you is giving you his face. The headline catches your eye. So you turn it over, you see what is contained underneath. But as Tango said later, the paper cloth is the floor. He goes out. There's a man sitting there, only a man with a cap. His mouth is to his face. His body is the thin air. Such things don't happen. Well, it happens to you. Or perhaps your driving has. And you turn into your driveway, you know this boy is cycled by you. He calls out his very good evening. And you reply. But a several days later, you see his cycle top of earth. And if you get out of the car, you naturally walk up the road to see what has happened. Realize the bicycle by the side of the road. But there's no taste of the boy. But he saw him. Only a man with a girl. He called out to you. And you replied. And now he's completely disappeared. Of course such things don't happen. But it has happened to you. Or possibly, you come and go and call out to your wife. And meet you there at last. You go into room after room. You find no trace of her. You look round for that. And again, discover that. So you sit down to wait. And you wait. And you wait. And the minutes drag their own feet until presently, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours have gone. And eventually, you can stand it no longer. You pick up the telephone and ring one of your friends. The time of call is immediately on the track. In other words, you're thrown quite simply. If nothing has been seen with your wife all day long, you put down the receiver. What has happened? Where has she gone? You go to your neighbor. They tell you quite simply again. Nothing has been seen with your wife all day. Let's see you sit on the television. Both hands in the lighter, telling story after story of missing people. Not merely in your area, but all over the world. Then they flash across the screen, picture after picture of accident and calamity. Finally, he ends with the word, what has happened? Where have they gone? All sorts of explanations are being offered. Some talk about an invasion from outer space. But where are they? Where have they gone? You should ask. You get back to the telephone. You ring up the police station. Wait a moment, sir, says the voice to the other end. Give you the specimen, all right? And what do you think is this? Slowly and laboriously, the specimen is taken down. Do the boys say, sir? I'm very sorry, sir. If you hear anything, we'll let you know. Yours is only one of dozens of cases in this district alone. You just do not know how many there are of the whole area. You sit down to the field. What in the right word has happened? Ultimately, you say, I'll go to bed. Certainly not to sleep, but the soft and slowly wait for the break of day. Finally, Saturday comes round, and you get up, you pick up the newspaper. There is a strong headlight. There is a dark. And the color is totally of the story. A picture of the picture of the same character as those you heard and saw on Friday night. You go out, neighbor neighbors gather together, discussing and querying, asking for the answer, the question is obviously facing every one of them. What has happened? Where have they gone? And all through long Saturday hours, you argue, you discuss, you question. Until life becomes weary. You say quite simply, what in the wide world has happened? And you sit down, rest your weary head. Sunday comes round, early next Sunday, like many another, you may say, I will go to church. Yes, certainly, there is some comfort and consolation. And who knows, perhaps even some explanation. You make your way to the nearest church. There are crowds gathered round the door. The door is shut. You press to the crowd. I read the notice on the door. There'll be no services today. The minister disappears on Friday. You try another, and another. You finally find one that is open. It is absolutely crowded. That you place your way in and stand by the door. The moment or two, the minister may stand up in the pulpit. He announces no opening here. Engages in no prayer. Leaves no fight. In looking over that vast crowd, he may say something like this. I have never seen this church so crowded to capacity as it is today. I know why you are here. You are hoping for some word of consolation or possibly some explanation of what is occurred. I know, for I also have been asking the same question. For on Friday, my wife and my daughter suddenly disappeared. I have been asking, where are they? Where have they gone? I have been so many subjects from this pulpit. There is one to this I have never referred. For the Bible says that Jesus Christ, who 19 centuries ago died, was buried and rose again. One day will return. And then he comes. Everyone who is here will be summoned to meet him in the air. It seems to me that there is no other possible explanation. But that Christ has come and our loved ones have gone and we are left behind. I have no word for you. There is no hope that I can offer. Comfort will be foolish. If Christ has come, and they have gone, it's too late. It's too late. And he may dismiss that vast congregation. Only that Sunday. Christ said, I have no authority whatsoever for postponing the coming of Christ to next Friday. For the simple fact is, he might pass in the next few minutes. And if he does, everyone here who knows him in that personal and intimate way, as Savior and Lord, will disappear. But if you do not know him, may I put it quite bluntly, you will be left behind. There is no third possibility. Either you belong to him, or you do not. If you are here, you'll be caught at the meeting. If you're not, you'll be left behind. When the mayor dies, suppose I'm a test. I will realize then what has happened, and I will turn to him. Oh, no, you won't. Oh, no, you won't. The Apostle Paul is perfectly explicit. He declares that those who knew the gospel and declined to accept Christ as their own Savior, there will be no more opportunity, and rather they will be deluded into believing the lie, the Antichrist. Don't persuade yourself that will be a second shot, another opportunity. Thousands are deluding themselves in that way today. There's no possibility. If you know, if you understand, and have never accepted Christ, there's no further path. The pagan who never heard, for the heathen who sat in darkness, of course they will live. But for you, the day is finished, and the opportunity is gone. Well, you may say again, suppose that also be true. Sooner or later, the last chapter will be penned in my life's story. That will fulfill the whole thing. Do not be isolated, waiting to talk in that fashion. Lots of people do. And if you seriously think that death is the final chapter, it's the biggest heresy that you could possibly have. Death is not the end. It's only a door. It seems open at the appointed moment. Who knows the path through to the other side? And the Master himself made clear, whether we can realize it or not, that immediately after death, we still retain our consciousness. We still retain our identity, our personality, we retain our memory, and our capacity for sensation. And he said also, that immediately after death, as bodily spirit, some are found in a place of blessing, and others in a place of suffering. Don't persuade yourself that that's the final tactic of a story. Now, repeat it. Death is only a door. The things open at the appointed moment. Good hours to pass through to the other side. We may say again, what is the next true also? Isn't it perfectly clear that sooner or later this planet will disappear? Doesn't the young nutritionist tell us over and over again that it's a doomed planet? That eventually there'll be some form of nuclear explosion and the whole thing disintegrate? That surely will be the end. The end of civilization, the end of mankind, the end of me. That, of course, is only partly correct. There's no doubt whatsoever as the truth of this telling. Sooner or later, there will be some form of nuclear explosion. The whole thing will unestimably disintegrate. One who's under vigilance, who certainly knew nothing about nuclear physics, 19 centuries ago, picked up terms and phrases in common use today. He said quite simply, one day the earth will disappear, and that will be also. You may say today, these are quite clearly indicating it. The end of the planet, the end of mankind, the end of you. Another writer takes up the same story and paints the same thing. But Dahler says, when the earth and its atmosphere disappear, he saw, standing in space, unsupported by pillar or bar, a great white flag. As you know, perfectly absurd view at home, decades ago, nothing could stand unsupported in space. Schoolboy today will tell you, that's not very feasible, that's actually a fair. On that fair, all the more dreadful, this is one whose the mortal eye is completely invisible. And before that fair, this God, I'll summon all the dead. Those devoid of spiritual life. And the tragedy is that you might be there. The books are open, said John. Literal books? Of course not. You hold the story of life in the recesses of your own life. Not a thing has happened in your life that did not leave some indelible impression upon your memory. You may say some things I have forgotten. That, of course, is not true. What you really mean is that either deliberately or involuntarily you thrust those things down into the realm of the unconscious. As you know quite well, when something happens suddenly, it sometimes links up with events that occurred perhaps years before. And from the recesses of your memory, you draw out the recollection of that earlier event and link it up with the present. Nothing is lost. The whole story of what you have been, what you have said, what you have done, what you have thought, the whole is held in recesses of your own mind. And where a divine finger to touch that memory and make it more acute, the whole of the story of life will come pulling back once again. There stand those individuals with a full recollection of what they have been and the whole character of life in the presence of God, who's infinitely holy. But with the recollection will come the awareness also of the true nature of what they are and what they have done. The realization of the true character of words and thoughts and acts, and with a consciousness of evil upon them, they stand in the presence of a holy one. So the only one desire in the minds of those who stand there is to move themselves as far as they can possibly get in the eyes of that one. Leave their inmost being only making it aware in the eyes of that God who sits upon the throne. And not God, but will appear in the center part of that prayer of eternal exile from the presence of God. And the magic is that you might be there. The Bible talks about their consignment to a lake of fire. I don't understand that. I'll turn over a page. I'll read what it says. We're unjust. We're unjust too. Incidentally, the covetous too. The murderers too. The adulterers too. There'll be no change in that day. The same desire. The same craving, the same longings will continue for all eternity. No change, only increasing in intensity as time goes on. There is not the slightest possibility of any gratification of desire or satisfaction of longing. You can imagine a worse hell that are unsatisfied cravings and longings to which there is no return. I find it extremely difficult to do that. There's only one aspect of the whole subject. And the tragedy is that you might be there. The bigger tragedy is not of the heathen who never heard, or of the pagan who sat in darkness, but of people like you and me, who knew, who understood, and who never accepted Christ as Savior. And the tragedy is that you might be there. Well, you may say by this time, why talk about things like that? Well, there is one obvious reason, isn't there? If you bother to think and look at the events occurring around you, you'll be forced inescapably to one conclusion. The conclusion of the economy, the financier, the politician, the military man, and so on. That things cannot continue very much longer as they are at the present moment. That some climactic event is about to occur. That the world is rushing off to an unparalleled crisis. That's the conclusion of every thinking person. And if you pause to think, you realize also that something is about to occur. There's no debate at all. It is, in a very short space of time, Christ will come. And those who are here will disappear. But possibly, you will be left behind. That's why it matters. But upon your personal relationship to Jesus Christ depends your eternal future. You either belong to Him, or you do not. And today might be the last time that you have the opportunity of facing this issue and deciding either for Christ or against Him. I'll ask you questions in this morning. What is your attitude? You know, the man, that one came into this world to make a way back to God. And through his work, The barrier has been swept away. And access to God made possible. And all I have to do is to come. And I ask you quite simply, will you come? There were 30 years of death. I was in need for the south of France. One morning I went round with a young Swiss missionary on his morning tour of visit. He came to one man. He said, I don't think you had better come down here. And I just immediately followed him. He stood in front of one house, a very tall house, and said, don't come here. Once again, I just immediately followed. There was no lift. He had to climb to the very top. Well, the top was scarcely gone clear, and the balusters had disappeared. When we reached the top, a door was confronted us. My friend knocked on the door and went in. Once again I followed. Facing us, there was a small window through which I could see the marvelous blue sky of southern France. In all my life, I have never been in a room so indescribably pretty as the one at the city event. And the scent was simply dreadful. There were only two articles of furniture, a bed and a box. On the bed was lying a woman, clearly a vile character, the prayer meant viler than she herself. My friend said to me, say something to her. She was saved last week. I thought, I don't believe it. Not with a face like that. And he repeated his words. So I pulled out my New Testament, read the first few verses of John chapter 14. Then his full boyfriend tried to talk to her about the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. If I had not seen it, I would never have believed it. It was just as though an angel of heaven had bent down to kiss that filthy cheek. A radiant smile came over her face, and she said something like this, thank the good Lord, I found this, just in time. It was only just in time. About 10 days later, that poor body was laid in the grave. Just in part. There. It may be only just in part. Our Lord may come this very day. And if he comes, the guy will be tough. You're either his, or you're not. In his marvelous love, he has waited till. He's waited right up to the death. And possibly, for you. You come? He said, then what do you mean? Well, just as a child will come, saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I cannot possibly help myself. The doubt is dying for sinners. Therefore, let it die for me. I take thee as my Savior. That's all you have to do. You come. You see, this might be the last time. There will be a last opening of the Bible in this chapel, a last teaching therefrom. It might quite conceivably
is there. This might be the last class. And this morning, you face the issue. You're either Christ, or you're not. And he faces it for you. You try. You put your trust in Calvary's death. Or will you say, not today, some other time, and it may be too late. It may be now, or never. You copy this? I say the time. The only perfect man, whose life was not forfeited by sin, to the faith of mankind, lives of all others, the fourth, here's to the free man, and he took the place of guilty man. By his death, Adam's sin has been atoned for. The barrier has been set away. That is man into the presence of God. All that God can give is available in Christ. It is valueless. So far as I am concerned, unless I personally come to give, the veil my self of what he has done. And today, you face the issue. What else you'll get? What can you do? You come, or you say, not today. In the next minute or two, Christ may come. No other opportunity you may have. No peace to God. You may come. What do you do? Oh God, our Father,